everybody. This is JPM and Carl with the Southern Strong Style Wrestling Show.
Howdy.
Our first show here, we're going to talk a little bit about Raw to start things off.
Monday Night Raw.
And as far as Raw goes, I have to say the best parts have been Joe and the whole Joe Lesnar feud.
Yeah, it's been really an amazing feud, and Joe has looked strong throughout the whole thing, which absolutely is just a dream for me, because seeing him in Ring of Honor and seeing him in TNA and seeing what he's capable of and seeing that he can be at that top level, it's awesome that WWE has such faith in him to be a top guy, because he definitely deserves to be a top guy and he should stay a top guy.
Nobody has ever, well, not ever, but in recent memory, nobody has ever took it to Lesnar the way that Joe has. Goldberg excluded, because Goldberg and Lesnar happened once before. But it's really a breath of fresh air, and I really have enjoyed seeing it. And I'm hoping Joe wins the title in the near future. Who knows, maybe Heyman could align with him. That would be interesting.
Yeah, that'd be great. Absolutely.
Also, things happening, Reigns and Strowman. It's been pretty well booked, I'd say.
Yeah, Reigns is really kind of winning me over a little bit, because in this feud, he's really shown that he can sell, and he's not just this indestructible guy. Like, he's showing there's more depth to his character, which I think is great. Now, it comes out better with Strowman than anybody else, but I thought him and Joe had an awesome match the other night. And I think him and Joe have pretty good chemistry. And Joe looked strong. Reigns didn't steamroll him.
Reigns gets a lot of hate. That's probably more character flaws that they had, you know.
I mean, he's
character booking more so than...
I mean, he's probably my least favorite on the roster, but... You know, he's...
I mean, no, I'm not going to say he can't work or anything like that. He can. I mean, he puts in the work.
Yeah, with Strowman, he works better with Strowman than anybody else.
Other things happening on Raw. Elias Sampson, who I feel like would be utilized better as a heel if the heel announcer didn't ride his ass every week. That's kind of...
Yeah, I mean,
counterproductive, ain't it?
Yeah, I don't understand. I mean, maybe it's just Graves trying to do something different. But if you're just... And he tries to be a classic heel commentator. If you're going to be a classic heel commentator, then...
Side with all the heels.
Don't take the piss out of one of
He takes all the heel sides except his.
Yeah.
Kind of does. He's feuding with Finn Balor, who some people feel is being scaled back.
Well, you know, he goes from Fatal 5-Way main event to kind of be working in the mid-card. And, you know, I mean, if Samson wins this feud, then, of course, Samson looks strong, but...
I don't think he will, though. I think he'll still look strong.
Oh, that...
And he won't beat Balor.
Also, Samson hit Balor with guitar the other night. That was a hell of a chair shot. Left a gash in the back of Balor's head. Now, of course, I could make the old OSW review. If you guys ever hear this, you guys are amazing. Where they constantly show the Mike Graham segment from the Rise and Fall of WCW, where he says Jarrett broke 500,000 guitars and never drew a dime.
Ouch.
Yeah. Jarrett didn't do good in WCW. He was world champion, but man, he was just kind of bland.
But moving on to Finn Balor, some people feel he was scaled back. However, I feel that having lower card feuds right now where he comes out on top is a little bit better than getting squashed by Lesnar right off the bat.
Absolutely.
I mean,
yeah.
Will he be champion again? Sure. Maybe not right away. The both rosters are loaded right now. Every WWE's got a great roster. They don't know how to utilize half of them, but got a great roster.
Yeah, speaking of like having a great roster, they have a great female roster as well, but for some reason Emma just doesn't end up on television, and I don't know why.
I don't know if it's because Emma's best friends with Paige or what. We'll talk about all that later, yeah. Believe me. But Emma is great and needs to be utilized better. She's one of the hidden gems.
And she's a great heel.
Evil Emma's really great. Worker.
She was one of the pioneers in NXT that kind of got the whole
Emma. If you ever see this, Emma, we're pulling for you.
Yeah.
All I know is that she deserves more. And speaking of the women's division, nothing against Alexa Bliss. I think she's a hard worker. Her character is there. Her promos are obviously there. But since she has become the women's champion on Raw, the division is just really taking a nosedive. What can make it better? I know some people make the argument, oh, well, that gauntlet match was good. Yeah, it was. Nia Jax, hard-ass worker. I'm not the biggest of fan of hers, but I appreciate what she did, and I'm not really big on how they scaled back Bayley and everything, but they're building Sasha back up, and where are they going? I don't know.
Sasha, to me, is just still as a babyface. Because everybody knows she's going to turn on Bayley. It's just kind of everybody's just kind of waiting to see when she'll turn on Bayley. And
Sasha belongs on SmackDown. Why does she belong on SmackDown? Because she's always said for years that Eddie Guerrero was her favorite and she loved watching SmackDown, so she wants to be on SmackDown.
She needs to be freshened up. Bad, and SmackDown would freshen her up.
I think it would.
Because her and Charlotte have wrestled 450 million times.
Let's hope next time they have a draft and not a lame-ass
Well, wait a minute. Charlotte's on SmackDown now, isn't she?
Let's hope next time they have a draft and not a lame-ass superstar shake-up again.
Shit. Well, I forgot Charlotte's on SmackDown. Well, if she goes to SmackDown, just keep her away from Charlotte. Don't let those two anywhere near each other.
Now the biggest things going on in Raw. Start off number one, Kurt Angle and Jason Jordan is his new son. Wow, that's like kind of revisiting the Charmel Kurt Angle, a love triangle years ago?
Whatever that was. I mean, you know, he had that famous promo.
He didn't sleep with Charmel.
He had that famous promo where he said he didn't just want to have raw sex with her. He wanted to have bestiality sex. So, I don't think Kurt knew
who's
that
meant. Who's Jason Jordan's mother? I don't know. It remains to be seen if they do anything with that. But
maybe they'll do a thing where it ends up being like Mama Benjamin and Shelton Benjamin Shelton Benjamin and him are like long lost brothers or something.
Oh Lord. Which we'll talk about him here in a second. Which brings us to Jason Jordan. Jason Jordan has all the tools. He's a hell of a talent. And him getting a big rub by being Kurt Angle's son, I mean, that's quite the endorsement.
I mean,
there.
It's out there. I mean, it's
I mean, yeah, it's kind of Vince Russo-ish, but it's,
yeah,
you know.
It's out there. I don't know if it needs that dirty word, but yeah, it's out there. For those of you wondering, yes, Russo is a dirty word. But, yeah, I think, you know, he's got it all. You know, he's got the physique. He's got the charisma. He can talk. He's got the skill in the ring. He's believable. He's everything that I imagine that Vince McMahon would want in a talent. He's the right size, build, everything. So sky's the limit. And with obviously him getting a rub off Angle, I mean, the sky's the limit where he could go. I mean, he could go as far as they want to take him.
Absolutely. And Kurt Angle, I mean, that's a guy that could have a good match with a broomstick. I mean,
yeah.
Which brings us to Chad Gable, his former tag team partner. American Alpha was always World's Greatest Tag Team Part 2, you know. So, what happens if they merge the two and Shelton Benjamin and Chad Gable become a tag team?
See, that
Benjamin's rumored to come back.
Yeah, I mean, that would be interesting. I liked the World's Greatest Tag Team. I loved American Alpha. I thought that their chemistry...
Their run was short. They
had down. It was, but them and the Revival had some of the best matches I've seen in many, many years.
And the casual mainstream main roster fans turned on Alpha pretty quick.
Yeah, well they do that. It's like most of them have seemed to have forgotten about Heath Slater. Heath Slater, who was a star on SmackDown, that they organically got over in the kid thing.
I love Heath Slater.
And then they done the build to him and Rhino winning the tag belts, and it was a short run, but they had a good run.
Everybody that they moved from SmackDown to Raw was better on SmackDown. Miz, Ambrose, Bliss, everybody was better on
Absolutely.
SmackDown.
Absolutely. And Slater is just getting lost in the shuffle.
Raw has been better than SmackDown in recent weeks.
Raw is a big man show. And, you know, look at the guys that are on top of the card. They're all big guys. So, you know, Slater kind of gets lost in the shuffle. I mean, Slater is not
he's got kids.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, he's not like Lince Dorado, bottom of the roster, but he's, you know, I kind of want to talk about that when we get to 205 Live. But.
And believe me, we will.
The Hardys.
Hardys are feuding right now with the Revival.
Yeah.
And maybe this will lead to the Hardys becoming broken again.
I think so. I think they're losing too much. Because they come in, they were on a roll. You know, I think they're just going to have them keep losing until they get this, until they get that
gimmick.
That suit taken care of.
That gimmick is one of the best things to happen in pro wrestling in many years.
I tell you what's crazy is Sheamus and Cesaro.
That's all I can say about
Sheamus
that.
Sheamus and Cesaro, who are the tag champs, are kind of being overlooked over this Hardys Revival feud.
That might have been one reason why they turned them.
Maybe. And I mean, I thought it was a
people were behind Sheamus and Cesaro, then the Hardys come back and they're like, well, we don't care no more.
Yeah, I thought it was good. I think they're really good heels, and Cesaro's, I like the whole, you know, we're the bar thing. That's pretty cool. And as long as Cesaro keeps getting a chance to shine, I'm cool with it.
I mean, he deserves a singles run one day, but
Absolutely.
Who knows when that's going to happen.
Yeah.
So enjoy what you got. And Enzo and Cass have had a very good damn feud.
Yeah.
Love or hate either one of them, Enzo Amore can talk you into the building.
He's an amazing promo. He's one of the guys, what The Miz is to the heel promo in WWE, Enzo Amore is to the babyface promo. Because people would argue Cena, but Cena does the raw same shit. Enzo adapts to every situation. His promos are always different. He gets his catchphrases in there, but his promos are always different. And I think that makes him special. Because there can be a new development in the storyline, and Enzo can talk about it.
Absolutely. And one more tidbit on Raw is we mentioned The Miz, Dean Ambrose, and Miz have been having a never-ending feud since SmackDown. But at least Axel and Dallas are being utilized. I'm just hoping this leads to the eventual heel turn for Dean Ambrose, because he needs a character freshen.
Yeah, and him turning on Rollins would be like revenge.
He needs freshened up. He was great on SmackDown, but another guy, casualty of being moved to Raw, just like Wyatt.
Right, yeah.
And Wyatt, I feel like...
What's sad is I seen somebody had tallied up Bray Wyatt's record since coming up to the main roster. he has lost way more than he has won.
His character is great, and his promos are great. I feel like he repeats himself a lot.
Yeah.
And I also feel like if he didn't laugh every 2 minutes, his promos might be more effective, too.
He was better on SmackDown.
But, yeah, nothing against Wyatt, but
no.
The laughing just doesn't do him any favor sometimes, I feel.
On SmackDown, we got the, Randy Orton and
Jinder Mahal. I'm a fan of the whole Punjabi prison coming back. I think that's an interesting concept.
It's definitely one of the coolest looking, I don't know if I'd call it cage, but it's one of the coolest looking structures that, like, in the Elimination Chamber, like, the coolest looking. I think the Punjabi prison looks amazing on camera.
It looks pretty damn lethal.
It does, yeah. Yeah, and
it looks Jay lethal. I mean, it's
yeah. I think Mahal's kind of, his title run's been polarizing for people, but I think
Mahal's your new Bradshaw. You know, the guy that was at the bottom of the car and gets pushed to the top. You know, you might hate him, but at least he's over, or at least he's doing something and getting people talking.
Yeah, he. And one thing that I like his promos. I think his promos are really solid. And
he's been losing his voice a lot, though. That's the only thing I notice.
Yeah, but it's cool because it kind of, like,
he's trying.
Kind of makes him sound more heelish, like with his deeper
voice.
I
think he's doing a good job. I'm not a fan of the overabundance of Americana versus the world xenophobia bullshit on SmackDown.
Yeah, if you're supposed to be, you know, at the end of the day,
Cena versus Rusev, number one.
You know, it's
Jinder versus Orton, number two.
Do you think it makes me wonder sometimes they forget the name of their company. Their company is World.
Yeah, you're a world company. You might be based in the United States, but you're a world company.
You're a world company.
And, you know, you got to remember this sometimes, you know. I know that the McMahons are big Trump supporters and everything, but,
you know, I mean,
you got to remember this stuff, you know.
I mean, they put the belt on him. They put the belt on Mahal for the whole Indian, you know, fan base and everything, and them trying to create a relationship with India and everything. You know, I'm sure, they're kind of being more careful with what's said about him than what Cena's saying about Rusev. They're being a little more cautious with that because they know they can't go overboard with the gender thing because they have the whole country of India going against them. But, and you definitely don't want to, they definitely don't want to alienate them right now.
No, that wouldn't be a good idea. We don't need to alienate anyone.
And another thing, why did it take so long to acknowledge that fan base? I mean, even when Khali was there, Khali was revered as a god over there.
Hell, TNA was. I know it took them 10 years to give Sanjay Dutt the X Division title, but I'm glad he's got it now. More on that later.
Absolutely.
But they had Rocco King for a little while. I mean, they were trying to capitalize on that. But anyway, back to SmackDown. I feel like it's been a pretty good show. I feel like since the shakeup, it hasn't been the same. I feel like Raw's gotten a lot of the best parts, you know. But I'm loving Nakamura, and I'm loving AJ Styles and Owens and all that stuff.
Corbin being Money in the Bank winner is, I don't know. He's a solid promo. He's really good, and he's really believable.
I think it would have made more sense for Sami Zayn to have won because he's the guy that they don't want to have the title.
Yeah, I think.
Rather than the guy that you do want to have the title.
Part of me thinks they've given up on him, but then I think, well, he's always up for mid-card. But, you know, I don't
know.
And
he'd probably only be champion. If he won the belt, it'd be like NXT. He'd only have it for like a week or two, and he'd lose it.
Yeah.
But that's his character, the underdog guy. That's why he's feuding with Kanellis right now.
Like, you know, yeah, speaking of that, man, I used to be such a big fan of Mike Bennett when he was in ROH.
And I'm a fan of the character right now. Here's to the greatest.
That
love
and I really think that they're doing this to take the piss out of Cody and Brandi Rhodes. I think that's why they're doing it.
It's a possibility.
Because, you know, WWE is like that. Whenever somebody leaves the company, you know, and there's bad blood on both sides, then you know they're going to throw a four-year-old tantrum. And
but since being in Japan, being in Ring of Honor, being in TNA, Maria Kanellis is on another stratosphere.
Oh, she is amazing. I'd go so far as to say she's carrying Mike. I really believe that.
She's not the same character that was in WWE before. No. She was a babyface before.
Yeah,
she's a full-blown heel, and she's amazing.
She's a great heel.
She can work at microphones.
Yeah, she's great. Yeah, she's a great heel.
So,
she way outshines Mike, for sure, especially right now.
But I thought he had a pretty solid match with Zayn the other night.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, Zayn can wrestle anybody.
Yeah,
Mike can go in the ring. It's just for some reason when he went to TNA, it's just that I don't know. I don't know if he lost a step or he thought he needed to slow his style down, but he just doesn't wrestle the same, you know, as he did in the beginning. But of course, in ROH, it's a completely different style.
Sometimes it depends on where the guys are and what the company wants.
Yeah,
there was a time in TNA about it. Year ago, and in some ways they're still kind of treading out of that territory, but a lot of guys were wrestling the same style.
Mentioning the women on SmackDown, I think it's really cool that Becky Lynch got a win over Charlotte.
Becky Lynch is underrated as hell.
Yeah, and
you won't find three more underrated women on that roster than her, Tamina, and Natalya.
Yeah.
I mean,
now with Tamina, I feel like they're kind of throwing shit at the wall at this point because, you know, they're only giving her so much promo time. They're kind of, you know, she shows up, you know, they're pushing her, but, you know, they're not really giving any depth to her character. She's just kind of like, I guess, like this badass. You know, I mean, there's got to be more to her.
Man, I might be the only person on earth, but I'm a Carmella fan.
Carmella to me was
her winning Money in the Bank was the right call, I feel. Because
now, Ellsworth to me has actually, you know, and I'd probably get shit for this, but I think Ellsworth helped her get more over.
He did.
Because Ellsworth, when he turned heel, man, he's just that annoying.
But when
you just want to punch in the face.
Sometimes she has some pretty damn solid matches.
She's a good worker. She's a good promo. I mean, she's a good promo, but, you know, when she doing that Princess of Staten Island shtick, you know, not being with Enzo and Cass.
Yeah, it kind of confused people.
Yeah. I mean, in NXT, they fit good together. In real life, she's actually in a relationship with Cass in real life. They work as a group.
She might end up with Cass again.
And do you know who Enzo Amore is with in real life?
Oh yeah,
Liv Morgan.
Liv Morgan, yeah, that's right.
I can see that.
Yeah, similar personalities it seems. Which moving on now to let's briefly talk about the tag team division before we and AJ being the face of people think gender's kind of scaled back.
Well, I
don't think so. I think AJ's just your most popular baby face.
Here lately at house shows, they've kind of had...
You want the crowd to go home happy.
They've had genders match third or fourth. You know, normally house show matches, about 7-8 matches. They've had genders matches be about third or fourth, and AJ's always the main event. So I brought up the question, are they doing this to elevate the United States title over the WWE title? Are they trying to make, you know, and actually I think Owens has, and Styles have brought a lot of credibility to the United States title.
Absolutely.
And I think it was Owens' way of getting a reprieve from the whole, you know, I thought he was a terrible Universal Champion, and I thought
it wasn't his fault.
No, it wasn't. It Bookers. Wasn't. It wasn't his fault, but they booked him so terrible during that whole thing, and the whole face of America.
Well, the fact that Triple H interfered to make him win the belt, that was,
and
just,
they never,
that was just a damn,
and they never really explained that. Him and Joe were like, worked together for like 2 weeks.
But the My Heart Will Go On video of that was fucking hilarious. Did you see that? Somebody put that music in during it. That shit was hilarious. I know you people have seen that. But anyway, another snippet. Breezango. Seriously entertaining.
Yeah, I love it.
They're about the most entertaining thing on SmackDown.
Yeah, and you notice the Usos aren't really getting mentioned. The Usos as heels, I think, are good, but, you know, just...
Their promos have been great.
Breezango taking
the rap battle was fucking hilarious.
Breezango taking the piss out of him has been great. And the New Day, I don't
hey
know.
Hey man, aren't you Coffee Kingston? No, that's right, man. You was just faking. That shit was funny.
taking a shot at Xavier Woods.
Yes, you got to keep it PG. Not like your boy here, Xavier Woods. All rated R.
Yeah. Moving on to 205 Live. I've been watching a lot of British wrestling, especially Progress Wrestling, which you should watch because it's funny.
Especially if you're a fan of the UK shows.
Yeah, fucking
on
amazing.
WWE Network.
Noam Dar. He is one of the best in the world, and he's so young, but you see the stuff that he done in England, and you see the stuff he's actually going to make a one-time appearance in ICW in a couple months, and when he showed up on their screen, that place went ballistic shit. He's like a god in Scotland, and he's somebody that WWE is seriously squandering, because he can talk. He could wrestle any style. He should, you know, of course, you know,
I think him turning on Alicia Fox is a step in the right direction.
Yeah, now see, of course, you can't really put him with Neville because they're both heels, but whoever is the babyface that beats Neville, which it'll probably be Tozawa, because Tozawa is the most over guy.
You got to feel the power of Tozawa.
Hoorah,
hoorah, hoorah.
Yeah, and, you know, the Titus Brand, you know, who knows how far that's going to go.
I love Titus as a manager. I think he really excels. Nobody ever said, hey, oh man, Titus, man, he's a technical wizard. Nobody's ever said that. I thought he's a hard worker. But I think as a manager, he's doing a good job.
I guess he finally got over the hump of grabbing McMahon that one time when he was...
Like, yeah, I didn't think McMahon was ever going to get over that.
Knocking him down the card. But I tell you who should get a if there was an MVP award for somebody that has turned it around on 205 Live, Drew Gulak. That no fly zone thing is over.
He's got a great character.
He's got an amazing character, and he's pretty much when he was CZW champion. When he was in CZW, he had the same gimmick, and the same gimmick was, I'm tired of this ultra-violent garbage. I want to make wrestling great again. This was even before Trump. But he's like, I want to make wrestling great again. And he had this group. I think they were called the Candidacy. And I always said that if he brought that character to 205 Live, it would work. And it worked. And him and Mustafa Ali, which Ali to me is getting more over.
He is.
And his
and he might be in Aladdin if his campaign is success. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and his finish is awesome too. That inverted shooting star. I've never seen anything.
Hey,
like
and
that
it's
before.
Nice to see a Middle Eastern guy not booked as a stereotypical riding
yeah.
the carpet or some bullshit.
Yeah, now
that is, you know, Aladdin aside, he'll be riding a carpet if he's in that.
Yeah,
but
I mean
yeah.
like. But see, like Daivari, I mean, at least Daivari is doing like, okay, I'm like a rich Middle Eastern, you know, so.
He's doing like a...
Oh, and how about his acknowledgement of that Olympic wrestler?
They're trying to sign him, apparently.
So, I mean, how about that? I mean, that would be different.
Yeah, that would be very interesting, especially if you got Chad Gable and him wrestling each other. Damn, yeah. That would be some legit shit.
and, of course, you know, Austin Aries is gone. Who knows where he's going to go. I'm guessing he'll probably go to Japan. I don't see why.
Austin Aries got frustrated. It's easy to see why. I didn't know where they were going with him. He could end up back in Ring of Honor. He could end up back in TNA, now Global Force Wrestling. Or he could go to Japan.
His options
are there.
I don't think Delirious will have him back. Because I don't think him and Delirious get along.
I think Aries is going to Japan, personally.
Cornette himself said when he was there, I think that they had a falling out because Aries wanted to switch to a manager when he was doing the thing with All Might Express. And he wanted to just concentrate on being a manager, and Delirious was like, no, you're a wrestler. And he's like, no, I'm a manager. And they had a falling out based on that. But
he could easily go back to TNA.
Yeah, he could. He could. Was Jarrett... Jarrett was gone, though, when he was there, wasn't he? Not the first time, but when he had his world title run, Jarrett was gone, wasn't he?
Yeah, I believe so, or at least on the way out. But
yeah.
He's probably had enough dealings with him where
and
he could come
Aries
back.
Of the last 10 years of TNA champions, Aries' run was one of my favorites. Him and Rude.
He definitely had a good run. I mean, Aries seems to rub a lot of people the wrong way. Maybe it's like Punk.
Yes, Punk does.
Like Aries, but...
Me too.
I don't know him as a person. I can't vouch for any of that, but...
Well, you met him.
I did meet him at a fan fest, and, you know, some guys are tired, and...
By the way, if you ever go to any of those fan fests,
He was all right to me. That's all I know.
Go and talk to Samoa Joe, and go and talk to AJ Styles, and go and talk to Christopher Daniels, because they are all like really nice. I told Joe he was a badass motherfucker, and he looked the dude taking camera. And go see, I told you.
Any kind of signings, and those guys are there.
AJ broke character. Yeah. AJ was heel, and
those are definitely good people to meet.
Yeah, definitely. Neville. Neville is unstoppable. Neville is... And Neville gets forgotten about. And I don't know why. He's undefeated. I mean, well, not undefeated, but, you know, he's been 10 in tag matches and a couple of non-title matches, but, you know, his run, he's had a hell of a title run.
Now, we'll talk more about this next person, but let me just say that there's rumors that Mysterio could either sign with GFW or WWE. Now, what if he come to 205 Live? Why not bring in somebody who created the Cruiserweight division, Him and Malenko put that shit on the map, buddy.
Him, Malenko, Guerrero, Jericho, Benoit.
I mean, the first Cruiserweights I remember going at it were Mysterio and, you know, Juventud Carrera, Malenko.
Yeah, and actually, if you want to go even pre-WCW...
Psychosis.
If you want to go pre-WCW...
The chairman, La Parca.
Yeah, I love La Parca. The first two that were brought to this country, which ECW featured, was Rey Mysterio and Juventud Carrera.
Mm.
You know, Juventud and Rey, and then Psychosis. Those were the first three. Those were your first three, so technically, you know, Mysterio... Lucha Libre had never been seen in the United States before ECW. And then, you know, Ray and Juventud and then Psychosis, they, you know, it's, you know, Lucha Libre is just really awesome style because it's a hardcore style, but it's hardcore high flying. It's really cool. And Mysterio, if a rub from Mysterio would elevate 205 Live for sure. And Mysterio